This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick, and my colleague Madeline Brand rejoins us with two pieces, actually. Both are kind of about how people get along with each other, but as you will hear, these are very different interpretations of that question.
With just 6 months left before the presidential elections, debating Congress is taking on a more partisan tone, and hold up in the Capitol with lawmakers is NPR's Andrea Seabrook. Hi, Andrea.
Hello.
So, Andrew, we often hear about the increasingly rancorous and partisan tone as the election nears, but can you give us a good example?
Well, you know, I can, but in order to do that, let's zoom in on this little interaction to give you a sense of the sort of bickering that goes on. What's happening here is the House Education and Workforce Committee was having a hearing with Labor Secretary Elaine Chao last week about changes the administration is making to federal regulations that lay out who has the right to earn overtime pay and who does not. Here's a cut of tape of George Miller, a California Democrat, talking about the importance in some families of earning that extra bump of money from overtime.
For so many of them, it means whether or not they qualify for the mortgage on their house, whether or not they're going to be able to afford their car or finance their kids' education. That's what overtime means to millions of Americans. We wouldn't understand that in the Congress of the United States because we only work a three-day week or a two-day week, so we never get up against those 40-hour weeks here in Washington.
Andrea, what's this dig about a two-day work week?
Well, actually, you know, there's some truth in what Miller is saying here. Congress generally comes in at about 6:30 on Tuesday evening, and leaves at about the same time on Thursday evening. So this really drives Democrats crazy because they say there's so much work that could be done and with the extra time and so on. What's really happening is since Republicans hold the majority enough to control any votes that happen, they can pretty much control all of the work that the House does behind closed doors. I mean, not in front of C-SPAN cameras. So they generally only schedule floor debate and floor action for a short amount of the week. Now, like I said, this drives Democrats crazy, but it's also sort of an expression of their frustration at being in the minority and having, like, no control over what the House does and when. So you heard California Democrat George Miller fire the shot at Republicans for the short work week. Here's what happened later in the same hearing on overtime when it was Georgia Republican Charles Norwood's turn at the mic.
Another thing, while my friend Mr. Miller's here, I know you may work 2 or 3 days a week, and I congratulate you. But we should put in the record that most members of Congress work 6 and 7 days a week. I am sorry that the labor union wasn't here who enjoyed your comments. So, but the fact is, most members of Congress, I don't know how you get away with 2 or 3 days, but most members of Congress work all week pretty hard.
Yeah. Tuesday
night at 6:30. Now, let me, Mr. Miller, come on. You are really out of line.
Well, you're out of line with the comment. We go into work at 2:30 on a Tuesday.
I congratulate you on working 2 to 3 days a week. That's what you said.
So, Andrea, when does this all end, mercifully?
We're all looking for that. You know, most of us who cover the House up here think that it's worse this year. Think that with the election approaching, it's sort of increasing this friction between the parties and that it will peak somehow with the elections at some point and then go back to a sense of normalcy. But then again, there's this tone to the partisanship that seems here to stay. I mean, it's the tone that President Bush campaigned to try and get rid of originally in 2000. But, you know, for example, listen to this cut of Tom DeLay. He is the House Majority Leader. He's arguably the most powerful Republican in the Congress. He was speaking at the Conservative Heritage Foundation a few months ago, and I want you to specifically listen for what DeLay calls the Democratic Party.
In recent months, the Blame America First hate speech of the American left has infected the Democrat Party's national leadership to a very dangerous degree.
Now, did he just misspeak there? Did he mean to say the Democrat Party?
Oh, yes, he did. In fact, the Democrat Party is a sort of partisan slur in a way that Republicans have been using sort of offhandedly since the McCarthy era. I mean, we're talking decades and decades. But it was really in the Newt Gingrich time in the 90s when Republicans took over the House again that it came into the fore again. And now it's not only just an offhanded thing. Almost all of the Republican leaders in the House use the word Democrat Party all the time. And the idea is to keep, you know, the good word democratic or democracy out of what they call their opposition party. So it's this sort of intense niggling bickering that goes on constantly, and at least some amount of acrimony is surely here to stay.
NPR's Andrea Seabrook on Capitol Hill in Washington. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.